You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, that we don't take it lightly, but we know that every moment together and every moment in your presence is something that's special. It's something that's important. It's something that we should treasure. So we thank you today as we open your word, God, that you would give us some moments in your presence, God, and with the revelation of your word that would just change our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, you look good. Well, I asked Pastor Corinne to share with us today, and it's always a blessing when I get the opportunity to have her with me. I want to talk on a subject called, what's the point? What's the point? Somebody say it with me. What's the point? You know, growing up in a pastor's home, one of my biggest questions was why? Why? You know, why do we do this at church? Or why do we as Christians do that? Or why do we lift our hands in worship? Or why do sometimes when you're at church, people dance around kind of funny? And, you know, it's a lot of questions. I think my family loved me because I asked a lot of questions. But what's the point? What's the point? Today, I would really like to kind of dive into some of those areas and, you know, take a look at why do we worship? Why do we worship? I believe it's an important question, and my prayer is that you walk away with a few more answers than you came in with. Amen. Our scripture. Our text today is going to be Exodus 3, 1 through 5, and this moment that Moses has. It says, one day Moses was tending the flock with his father-in-law Jethro, the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God, where the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire in the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning? How many people have ever asked the question, why? So Moses was asking the question, why? Sometimes as believers, we ask the question, why? Why this? Why that? And Moses was asking that question. And so he says, I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Here am I, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. You know, when I think about the fact that we serve a holy God, and we are his redeemed people, it creates such an interesting combination, you know, to see that God was calling him, but at the same time, God was saying, well, be careful. As you enter into this relationship, there's some things that you need to know about serving a holy God. A perfect God and a people made perfect through Christ, but still working out their salvation. Amen? As Moses is walking up to God, walking up to the voice of God in this phenomenon of this burning bush, he is having to examine his own walk. Even though God called him and God wanted him, he had to also take a look at the way he was walking. We have to understand a few things, even as we're asking the question, why, about the holiness of God. God says, take your sandals off. Take your sandals off. We must really and truly treasure his presence when we come in, you know, reverence his presence. Never taking for granted what this relationship meant. Jesus died on a cross. He died. He sacrificed his life so that we could have this type of relationship with God. I think that's something that is serious in nature when we come to God. We're coming to God because we have the ability through the price that Jesus paid. So we don't just come in any kind of way with dirt all on our sandals, walk in any kind of way. We have to say, let me examine what I'm doing. Let me examine as I enter this relationship with God.
I just want to interject here. We always pray about what God wants us to speak about. I just want to say that because I know sometimes it seems like, or some people might wonder what prompts these topics. You know, God has really been pressing upon our hearts where we're going. There are some things that we have to go back to the beginning and make sure we have such a strong foundation in it, because we live in a society where there's so much that goes on and there's so many distractions. It's easy to lose sight of the main thing. So this is what we don't want to talk about today. What is the point of worship? Why do we worship? Yes, we know we worship because God requires it, because God deserves it, because as many people say, when I worship, you know, when I praise, the blessings come down, the word says. But do you need me to move so it stops doing this? Okay. So anyway, you know, I think the first principle I really want us to take away is that God is always wanting to have an encounter with us. He's always wanting to have an encounter with us. And I believe God created marriage for us so that we're not alone, but also it's a parallel of our relationship with Him. We are the bride of Christ, so we're in this relationship, in this covenant with Him. Now, in a marriage, when there is lacking intimacy, there is a disconnect in the relationship. If there is a disconnect in worship, that is our way of intimacy with God. Prayer is communication, you know, and the word is understanding and revelation. But worship becomes such an outflow of intimacy with Him. There's such a connection. Some of you have experienced this for yourself. Some of you are still wondering or waiting for it. And that's what we're here for today, is really bridge that gap and remind each other what worship is for. But, you know, I just want to really emphasize, if this is an area that's lacking in your relationship with God, this is the part we need to shore up. Because there's so many things that God will speak to you, that God will cover you, that you will feel His presence. You will understand His purpose. There's just so many answers found in our connection with Him, in that intimate moment with Him of worship.
You know, if we look at it like this, God is always waiting to have an encounter with us. But the question is, are we ready to have an encounter with Him? You know, so often we get busy or distracted. Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go so that they can have an encounter with me in worship." If you listen to the words that Moses says, he says, "Let the people go so that they can worship." I think a lot of times we forget the type of freedom that is released in worship. See, Moses was saying that. And every time he went to Pharaoh, he said, "Let my people go so that they can go and worship." Because there's a connection between worship and freedom. So the reverse is true. When we're not worshiping, we're actually in bondage. There are things that will creep into your life, and you can be held captive by your schedule. You can be burdened by stress and in bondage to circumstances. Now you're worried, you have fears in your life, and you're being held captive by all these things, not realizing the power of freedom in worship. Yeah. When we come into God's presence, you know what happens? Things start getting knocked off our lives that don't belong, you know? First, we begin to come into His presence, and sandals come off, right? God changes the way that we walk. But then we get into His presence, and you know what? Those things, those fears, those worries, those concerns, those little areas that have been holding us back and keeping us captive, those things start falling off. The longer that we spend, the closer that we get with God in his presence. As we worship, we see freedom.
I think the principle we can take from this is that, just like Melissa said it this morning, she said that God was really speaking to her about communion with God. Well, this is our principle. Communing with God is life. When we spend time with him, there's something that happens to us. I've heard some of you here say, man, I came in so heavy. And then when I left, I came in with all this heaviness. And when I left, I just felt so free. I felt like my spirit was lifted. That is a natural byproduct of being in the presence of God, allowing yourself to release those things that you're not supposed to have, you know, and allowing his presence to strip away all this other funk, I like to call it. You know, but one thing that I want to challenge us is that when we spend our time here on Sundays, it's not limited to that. Communing with God is living it out. It's a lifestyle. It's I'm living, I'm breathing, I'm constantly thinking. And yes, we operate also as humans, so we do other things. We're not always thinking about God, but you know, I love the scripture that says everything you do, you know, do it with all your might. Do it as unto the Lord. It's important that we remember why we are here. We're not here just to function in our roles as a husband, a wife, a parent, you know, a student, whatever it is. Your life is created to bring back glory to him. You were created to breathe life into others. And that is such a powerful thing. If you can identify that, then you can know who you are. There's a quote that Bishop Garlington has said before, and we love it. And I use it a lot with the worship team over the years, which says, worship is like breathing. You're created to do it all the time. It's a lifestyle. You know, we breathe in, we breathe out, we don't even think about it. When you can go throughout your day and find yourself just giving thanks all the time, just saying, God, you know, I see where you are right now in the midst. I tell my children this all the time. Look for God in everything, because he's constantly speaking. He's constantly trying to connect with you and encounter you. But can we perceive it? You know, can we take a moment and just understand when those moments are there? One of the things that it's so wrenching to me, because I get to stand up here and it's such an honor to lead worship. And at the same time, you know, I have this responsibility to actually worship and not just perform. But at the same time, stay connected with everybody in the house and see where everybody is. And sometimes I have this conviction of if I could just get somebody to understand what God is wanting to do for them, because I've told Pastor Joshua, you know, man, you know, we gave it our all today. And I just felt like some of the people weren't necessarily like getting it. And nothing is to me more sad than seeing when somebody is standing in the house and singing, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, with the least conviction in their presentation as possible. And don't get me wrong, I know everybody worships different. I know people, some people are more reserved. I know some people, but listen, if you're the one that's saying, I don't see God working for me in my life, but you're not surrendering and you're not putting an effort in your relationship and in your worship, you will not see that byproduct. You will not see the effects that come from it. So it's so important that you are connecting from your spirit, even when you don't feel like it. People of God, we are human. We go through things.
That's right.
This doesn't exempt us. There are days we don't feel like getting up here. We don't feel like doing things. We don't feel like being in front of everybody, but we know what God has called us to do, and we know that he deserves it.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
I tell you, feelings can be a liar. There's plenty of Sundays that I wake up and I'd rather stay in the bed today. But I realize I have a relationship with God. and I have a commitment to the Lord, and so that's what makes it all different. When I think about the Garden of Eden and when man first communed with God, the first moment that Adam had with God, God breathed life into him. And every time we commune with God, guess what he does? He breathes life to us. That's why we can come out of his presence and I feel refreshed today. Or come out of his presence, I feel like, I have new life. Or, I received a healing today. Or I received something from him today. Because every time we come into his presence and we worship, he's breathing something into us. And I think that's one of the most incredible things. I also think about Moses when he would just go to worship God and he'd go alone up on the mountain and he would receive some powerful revelation. And revelation flows from worship. You know, I've heard it so many times. People say, well, I read the Bible, but it just didn't make sense to me. Well, that's because you need to put some worship on that reading. Right? If you're just reading it as words, it's not going to make sense. But it's Holy Spirit inspired. You need the Holy Spirit to understand it. So in the middle of worship, there's revelation that comes forth. And so Moses would go up and he would spend time with God. And if you can think of the mountain as something symbolic, as going to the authority, God, and going to that intimate place, and Moses was all alone with God, and he received a revelation that was life-changing. Every time he would come out of God's presence, he would have some new revelation for the people of God. He would have some new revelation for himself. He'd have some new revelation about who God was. But it's important that we spend that time, because revelation turns the light on. Yeah. Revelation turns the light on, which tells me if we're not spending time in worship with God to receive the revelation, guess what? We're operating with the lights off.
Right. That's good.
So sometimes we wonder why we keep on bumping our head in a particular area, because we haven't sought God for the revelation in worship to turn the light on. Because let me tell you, when you turn the light on, you see, wow, all these amazing possibilities that could happen. And, oh, I don't have to keep on hitting my head there on that same spot. So revelation is so powerful like that. And the enemy wants us to get too busy to worship. The enemy wants us to get too, our minds are wrapped up so much during the week that we don't worship. Why? Because then we operate in darkness. You know, and that's what ignorance is. If we're ignorant of the revelation that God has for us this week, I'm not saying that you're ignorant, you're a dummy. I'm saying you could be ignorant of the revelation that God has for you for this week.
Right.
Jesus prayed, give us this day our daily bread. Part of that portion, Jesus was actually talking about revelation. Give us the daily revelation. And that comes from worship.
So many times people have such an incredible life-changing encounter. You know, we take it for granted. We just think, oh, it's just going to be another worship Sunday or another Sunday. And if you look at the story of Moses, the thing I find so interesting is he came in, he was going about his daily business, and all of a sudden here God encounters him. And that day was a very pivotal day for him, because God spoke to him, this is who you are. This is who I am, and this is who you are, and this is what your life should be.
Right.
You know, he told him that he was a leader, and he's still questioning. I mean, I said, you're still questioning, and he's right there, you know. But there's so much that he had to wrap his mind around and his spirit around, and God just spoke life to him. God spoke identity. And so there is this incredible revelation that he didn't have before, right? It's so important that we remember that. God is here to reveal himself to you. What do we define intimacy as? The revealing of something that you didn't know before, right? Knowing somebody in a way not everybody knows. And we just came back from that conference. It was so beautiful. The whole theme of it was intimacy and the worship that came out of that place. Oh my goodness. Because there comes a place where you aren't just trying to draw from God because you want something. You know, we get so caught up in, I call it Jesus Claus. Like God is not a Santa Claus. And we as Christians can sometimes get in this rut of this is what belongs to me. I'm entitled to this because I'm a child of God. And those are important. It's important to know what is part of your life and what advantages God gives you. But at the same time, never forget why. Because he is a righteous God, because he is a just God, because he is a good God. So when we can seek first the kingdom and not just seek his hand, not just seek what he can do for us. Oh my goodness. There's such a quality from that worship when it's selfless. I really believe it moves the heart of God in a different way. You know, because you're coming to him recognizing who he is. I know who you are. I don't know of you. I don't just know of you. I don't hear what other people say, but I also know you on a one-on-one.
I think that's so powerful because a lot of times as, you know, as fathers, we have some fathers here, we have mothers here, you know, when your child comes to you and they ask something out of relationship, that's different than when they just come and they're just asking for things. You know, how many times have you felt like saying, I'm not your ATM, you know? I think in the same way, we can do that to God when we come to him and it's not about relationship and it's not out of relationship. It's just, God, I need. And God's desire is to give those things to us, but it should be out of us seeking a relationship with him. Yes. And finding him in worship. I'm going to skip a little bit because I know we have limited time today. Sometimes God, just like the burning bush, he's going to reveal himself in an uncommon way. Yes. Something that we didn't expect, and we have to be able to, whatever we're doing, because Moses was doing his normal job. He was at work, okay? Put yourself in these shoes. He was at work. He was at his job, doing his thing, doing his regular 9-to-5, and God interrupts his day. He interrupts his day. Probably wasn't convenient, but he interrupted him. What happens when God interrupts us?
That's where I said that one thing earlier about can we perceive. It's so much of it is just being sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. Is being able to stop and say, I'll make room for you. You know, and it can look in so many different ways. And that's why I say... When we started our relationship, I remember God spoke to me through a movie. And I didn't share that with everybody because I know a lot of people are like, through a movie, really? That's how God told you were going to marry your husband? And that's how it happened.
It was a really good movie. Just kidding.
It was a very good movie. We still watch it a lot. But it was, I knew it was the voice of the Lord. I recognized his voice. And it goes back to being open to God speaking to you in different forms. He doesn't always come the way we think. He doesn't come always the way we expect. But you have to be ready to receive it in whatever form it comes. And so here we are, 13 years later. Yeah. So there's a scripture that says, you know, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. I really believe that God really wants to encounter this house in a new way. You know, he's been continuing to really push this understanding of the word and of prayer and of worship. It's the trifecta. Every Christian should really learn to excel in all three. And the places that we're going, it's so important that we, the heavens are raining down on me. That's great. It's so important that we can grasp this if we can all enter in, it's powerful for us to have a few powerhouse worshipers. That's great. We appreciate that. But this is a house of worship. That means if you're joined to this house, you are called to be a worshiper. Every Christian is called to be a worshiper, you know, but I believe that some people are even, they just got a special anointing for it, you know, that it inspires other people to worship. And so I have felt in my spirit that there's been some people that have struggled with getting past a certain threshold, that have felt restricted or have felt like, I can't feel, I can't connect. I feel like once I go to this level, I just lose it. Or whether it's not the musical style you prefer, whatever it is. There's so many distractions and blocks that the enemy tries to put up to keep you from getting there. Because he knows when you get there, there will be so much of an outpouring. There will be your revelation. You find identity. You find answers. You find clarity. You find peace. You find freedom. So much can happen in worship. You know, I'm the type of person that I just cry a lot. You know, it's just who I am. So when I get it, when I feel the presence of God, I always just feel weepy. And the kids already know, you know, they'll ask me, why are you crying, mommy? You know, and I'll say, they're not sad tears. They're happy tears. Right. But it's, you know, everybody worships different, and that's okay. Some people like to worship all hair crazy, you know, whatever it is. David danced till his clothes fell off, you know, and his wife resented him when she saw him. Oh, he's getting undignified. It's so important we don't fall into those traps. Don't be a watcher. Be an engager. Be a person who's involved in it. You find what God has for you. And it'll be such a blessing. I promise you, it'll be such a blessing. So I know that we're pressed.
Will you just stand with me today? I started thinking about what God had in Moses do when he said, I want you to build a tabernacle for me. And the tabernacle was also called the tent of meeting. And I want to tell you today that God wants for us to build a place that he can meet. I'm not just talking about a physical place. I'm talking about a place in your schedule, a place in your life, a place in your heart, a place that you can go. Maybe it's your car. Or maybe it's a time in your schedule that you say, this time is my tent of meeting. Or this place in my house is my tent of meeting. But I want us to do something today corporately. You just join hands with the person next to you. And I want us to make this place a tent of meeting. Will you close your eyes with me for a moment? Just ask God in your own words, God, come into this place. Meet me here. I want to experience you today. This is our opportunity. This is our opportunity today to meet him. God wants us to experience something that we've never experienced. God wants us to know some things about him that we didn't walk in here knowing. God wants to reveal some things. God wants to become intimate with us. God wants us to know him more.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.